Well, as we come to the time of the Word this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 down through 16. It's a rather familiar passage. But as we look at this, we're going to find out how it is that we can actually hear God speaking to us as we sit down and read our Bibles. I think it's something that most of us have struggled with or do struggle with off and on, when you sit down and you don't hear anything, right? Have you ever done that? You ever sat down, read, picked up your Bible and started reading and heard nothing?
Right. And he addressed that same issue with me yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Praise God. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? And it's Christians that we ask that question, won't they? Even Christians. How do we? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I want to thank you so very much that we can be here to worship you. Thank you for this time that you've given us. Dig into your word and allow your word to speak to us. Help us this morning, Father. Help us to hear you. Help us to really open our ears, be receptive. Help your word to penetrate deep into our hearts. And Father, may it speak to each one of us. I'd pray today, Father, that if there be any in any of our services or any who would watch on the internet and they do not know Jesus, I pray, Father, that today would be the day that they would turn their lives over to him and receive the blessed gift of salvation that he paid for and that he offers so freely. We just lift this up to you. I just praise you. Thank you. All of God's people said, amen. How do we really hear when you get into God's word? How do you hear? The Bible says, again, coming out of that 1 Corinthians passage, it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. How many times have you said something or you shared a scripture passage with somebody, particularly a non-believer, and they give you that, huh? Or how many times have you shared a scripture passage maybe with a believer who's living in sin or doing something and has been so far away from God for a while, they look at you and go, huh? The natural man has a problem hearing what God's saying. Amen? I think we've all been there. But it goes on, he says, for there's foolishness to him, he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? I love this next part, just this little phrase. But we have, talking about the believer, we have the mind of Christ. Amen? I want to digress for just a moment. And I think it's one of those things, you know, as we're sensitive, try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I just really feel, you know, looking out here at Dave and Grace, they lost a friend. And that family's going through the time of grief and the time of suffering. I shared with Grace this morning just briefly. I said, you know, it means you're going to have to replace that friend, and there's probably somebody else that's out there that you guys will be able to befriend and share your lives with as well. But one of the things that, I just really think right now, we just need to take a moment and lift that family up. You know, just ask that, you know, God comfort them right now. Because it doesn't matter. I mean, death never is easy, whether you know, whether the person knows the Lord or they don't know the Lord. The family goes through grieving. You're going to miss the, you miss the one, that person. So let's just lift, let's lift them, that family up again. I know Dave lifted them up during the offertory, but I just feel we need to do that for them this morning. So let's do so. Father, we just come before you right now, and it's one of those times where words often just won't express what often's in our hearts. And so I just want to lift this family up, Father, that's lost this man. I want to lift up Dave and Grace, who've lost a good friend. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, the one who is the comforter, touch that life. And perhaps, Father, his life will be a beacon to somebody and point them toward Jesus Christ. So we just pray, Father, though, that the family be comforted during this time of grief, strengthen them, and help them to look forward to the next day. Help them also, Father, to look at this man's life and realize who he was and how his walk with Jesus will point them toward the Savior himself. So I lift this up to you, Father. We thank you. We thank you that you're here. You thank you that you're there already. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep them lifted up, guys. Maybe you'll get an opportunity to speak a word. You know, you never know. Well, as we move back into this 40 days in the Word, I want to cover kind of a quick review real quickly. Because what we did is we found out in the very first week, we found out one of the things that the 40 days in the Word is showing us is the Bible is something we can trust. I can trust the Bible because I found out that it's historically accurate. I can trust the Bible because I know it's scientifically accurate. I can trust the Bible because my Lord Jesus Christ himself trusted his word. He used his word regularly. And so as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if my Savior believed it, and my Savior used it in his life, and my Savior had such a respect for it, I as a believer, if I'm really a follower, I'm going to believe what my teacher believed. Amen? And then we look at the Bible and we find all the prophecies throughout the Bible. And almost all of them have come true, and the ones that haven't come true yet are in the process of coming true. And the one big one that we know is coming is the fact that Jesus is coming back. Thank goodness. And then we've also know that, wow, we as a believer, every one of us, have experienced in our own lives the supernatural power of God's Word at work. We were saved to start with. And if that isn't a supernatural working of the power of God, the Word of God, the Logos, I don't know what is. But that's supernatural working. And I believe we've experienced that. Last week, then, we continued to do, and we continued to look at why the Word itself is so powerful. Why is this thing called the Word of God so powerful? Then in your small groups, in your Bible studies, you looked at how the power in the Word can do something, how it can actually change our lives. Because it does. Because it is powerful. Because it is active. Because it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Because it does separate. It does cut as deep as is possible. And God will use it, and God changes lives. Okay? And today, then, we come into week three. And today, I want us to walk away out of here going, you know what? Now I know why it is that I can hear what God's saying when he speaks to me out of his word. Now I know where this is coming from. It wasn't from a bad dream. It wasn't from eating too many jalapenos. It wasn't from eating some rotten food or whatever. It's because of something else that I can really hear what God is saying in his word when I'm sitting down. Like I said, most people have always, I mean, we tend to do this. We'll struggle at times in our spiritual walks with the Lord. And we'll sit down and we'll try to read our Bible. And as we're reading it, it doesn't click. We just don't quite understand it. Been there? Amen? I think most of us can say, yeah, I've been there. And sometimes we'll read a passage and we'll sit down and we'll go, I really want to find out what that says. So I'll read it over and over and over and over again. And it still doesn't make sense. Have you ever done that? I think every one of us has probably been there at times. And I'll confess, I've been there. And you go, huh, pastors do that too? Yeah, we do. We'll sometimes sit down and read and read and read and read and read and go over the same passage over and over and over and go, I'm supposed to be getting something out of this, but it's not just ringing. Why? If there's any, you know, if there's any of you that say, well, I've never been there. Well, never mind. Because we don't want to lie in church, do we? No. But we've all been there. And you know why it gets frustrating, doesn't it? Especially when you go over and over and over and over again, and it still doesn't go ding. The thing that God reminded me some time ago is that whenever I'm going through that, he reminded me that, hey, hold up, back up there, Jer. I want to communicate with you. Remember that. When you sit down and you're reading my word, remember, I'm trying to communicate with you. I really want to communicate with you. And that is very important to start with when you go through one of these times where it doesn't go ding. Remember that God really is wanting to communicate with you. Okay? Just remember that. He does want to. And the most common way that God wants to talk to us comes out of nothing other than the word of Jesus Christ, the word of God himself. The Bible. That is the most common way that God speaks to us. That's not saying he doesn't speak to us in other ways, but that is the most common and that is his most regularly used method. So if we don't read his Bible, we're obviously going to miss most of the communication. And we're going to start relying on feelings and emotions. And boy, they're going to trip us up. I don't trust my emotions at all. Anybody trust yours 100%? I don't trust my gut feelings 100% either. You know, too many things can change them. But I got to remember that God wants to communicate with me. And he does that through the living word, the Bible itself. So when I'm not hearing anything or I'm not understanding as I'm sitting there reading, I need to realize that not understanding, that not hearing is not what God really wants. That's a lot of negatives. That's a triple negative that I used in that one. If you don't understand, if you're not understanding, if you're not hearing, it's not what God really wants. He wants us to hear. And Jesus isn't playing some game out there where he's going, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to play the stump Jerry and show him he's stupid game. No, that's not my Savior. That's not my Lord. That's not God. God does not want us to not hear him. He doesn't want us to not understand what's in the word. He wants us to clearly hear it. He wants us to allow it to come into our lives. And so we're going to look today at how we can begin to see just what God really wants us to see and hear out of his word. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this thing that we call illumination. Remember I talked about this way, that was about 3 weeks ago in the introduction. We're going to look at illumination. And this to me is one of the most awesome parts about our God. Because God is so good. Because God loves me so much and he loves you so much. And because he really does want us to understand and he really does want to communicate with us. God did something. God took the initiative. He didn't say, hey, okay, I'll tell you what you got to do. If you want to learn how to read the word, and if you want to, you know, get so you really hear it, you got to sit down and devote a whole life to studying, buy all the books you can, go to all the seminars you can, spend a lot of money. No. God took the initiative himself. And he says, I want you to hear. And I'm going to do something. And he said, I'm going to send you the helper. Amen? He said, I'm sending you the helper, and it's the helper, the Holy Spirit, who is going to bring to light the words on the page so that as I read them, they become clear to me. Now, unfortunately, I know a lot of people, Christians included, sometimes when it comes to hearing God's word, we really don't realize that it's the Holy Spirit who's going to be doing the work to help us understand what it is that God wants to give to us. There's a couple of real quick, short videos that I want us to see. I like this one because the guy, he's a theologian. And he ends it up and he calls himself Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian. So he's a pretty shallow theologian. But anyway, we're going to watch this one and then one other one. This one's a little more serious. One of the roles, as we just saw, one of the roles is for him to be helper. And he does this as he helps to teach us, as he helps to guide us into all of God's truth. Thank goodness. Amen? He's there. So this is one of the things that we're going to look at this morning, and it's this thing called illumination. Very simply put, it's letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning that's in God's Word. Illumination is very simply letting the Holy Spirit show me what's in God's Word. And then as He shows me what's in God's Word, then I accept what the Holy Spirit is telling me because I know who He is. Amen? I know who He is. And as He shows me and as I accept, then guess what? He's going to even show me how to apply it in my life. He doesn't stop by just saying, well, that word means. He goes ahead and He shows me how to apply it. And because He's the one, wow, you know what? He is the one who's not just involved in our lives, but He is the one who does, in fact, reside in us. He's the Spirit of the living God residing in us. And folks, as such, we just need to accept who He is. And when we accept who He is, He's not, you know, we gave Him a bad rap back in the 50s and 60s, as Baptists particularly. We really did. We gave him a real bad rap. We thought he was, this is the dude that made people jump out in the aisles and go rolling down the aisles and screaming and hollering and drooling and carrying on and barking like dogs and all this other stuff. Amen? Does God ever give us anything that's bad? You know? But he got a bad rap for that because a lot of people said, oh, the Holy Spirit's what's doing that to me. The Holy Spirit doesn't make people go around barking like dogs. Where do you find that in the Bible? See, if anybody would have sat down and said, hey, you know what? Who those people that are teaching that he's doing that are crazy. The Holy Spirit does a whole bunch of other stuff. But instead, we started giving him a bad rap. We just kind of, we don't want to talk about this Holy Spirit stuff. And then we called him the It. It does this and it does that. You know what? He's a person. He's one of the persons of the Trinity. He's one of the persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's not it. He's not Casper the friendly ghost or the unfriendly ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. And one of his key purposes is to help us. Why did Jesus call him the helper? He said, I'm going to send you the helper, didn't he? Amen? So the best place for us to start when we want to learn and we want to see what God's word says to us is we need to go to God and ask him through the Holy Spirit to illuminate the word in me, because that's his job. And he wants to do it. There's a couple of verses that I think are really kind of important here. They come out of the Gospel of John. John 14, 17 says, he is the Holy Spirit. He didn't say it is the Holy Spirit. He said, he is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. In John then 14, verse 26, Jesus said, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. This is the Holy Spirit. John 16, 15 says, the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the Word. He said he's going to take from what is mine, the Word, and he says he is going to make it known to you. Wow. Okay? But the reason I can say with total 100% absolute conviction, and I know that grammatically is all messed up, but I can say it convicted with conviction, 100% truth, that it is the Holy Spirit who does the illumination when I read my Bible, is because Jesus said it is, and I trust my Jesus. Period. That's where it's at. Do I trust my Jesus? Do you trust your Jesus? Do you trust our Jesus? Amen? You trust God? If God said it, hey, I need to believe that. Otherwise, I'm going to miss some of it. And before Jesus was betrayed, before he was handed over to be executed, the Bible told us in John, it said, Jesus said, but the helper, hear that again, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He didn't say he'll teach you just some things. He said he's going to teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. In other words, he's going to bring all of the words that Jesus Christ has ever said to us. He's going to do it. And he said, when the helper comes, whom I will send, who sent him? Jesus. When the helper comes, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he's going to do something. He's going to testify about Jesus Christ in our lives. I think one of the coolest parts is whenever you have doubts in your salvation, you know who it is that tells you, hey, you're crazy. You are saved. Amen? You know who it is that's doing that? Holy Spirit. Any of y'all ever have doubts about your salvation at times as you struggle with things? And you go, maybe he's abandoned me. Yeah, our mind does weird stuff. The heart does something else. The heart's got it together. Because it's got the Holy Spirit. But our mind will go all over the place, won't it? And who's the one that gets us back on track? Huh? Holy Spirit. The one who's in us. The helper. The one who's got power. When I need power to do something, who's the one that helps me do it? Holy Spirit. See, Jesus wanted his apostles, the disciples, to know that through the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come up on them, and that was going to be a Pentecost, and then would indwell them permanently. The Holy Spirit, once he comes into our lives, does not take up part-time residence. There ain't nobody going to kick him out of your heart. Nobody. The devil can try. You can try, but once you invited him in, he's there. Thank goodness. And you know what that means? That means that no matter what we go through, he's not going to abandon us at all. That's something. That's why your friends can take comfort. If they know him, they're getting that comfort right now. That's who he is. And Jesus wanted his apostles, and he wanted us to understand that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to live in them and every believer whoever came down the pike. He wanted them to know what the Holy Spirit was going to do. And he told them that one of the things that he would do is he was going to guide them into all truth. Thank goodness. And this is the same Holy Spirit, folks, who indwells each and every person who has repented from his or her sins and who has come to Jesus Christ and asked his forgiveness and invited Jesus Christ to come into their lives to take up residence. And yeah, guess what? You got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God came in. That one guy was talking about, he didn't remember giving the Holy Spirit the lease. Well, guess what, Bubba? You gave Jesus the lease, and with Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit. He's there. And this is the same one that's in me today. He's the same Holy Spirit that's in you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same one who's in every believer who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Period. End of statement. And since the Holy Spirit has the guiding role, he's the truth bringer, he's the one that does something. He's the one that takes the Word of God and illuminates it in my mind and in my heart. He illuminates it as I read God's word. I need him. And he does that so that I can see. He does it so I can understand. He does it so I can hear what God wants to communicate to me through his word. But if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, then I'm going to miss an awful lot of what the Bible says. And sure, a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ or his or her Savior, they can sit down and they can read God's word. But they're not going to get it all. But they do get some of it. Doris, your husband, who was part of the Gideons for years and years and years, that great ministry that they had, putting those Gideon's Bibles in the hands of people and in the hotels, I wonder how many people we really know who have sat down because they were troubled, they were broken, and they were there in their motel room. And they picked up one of those Gideon Bibles, and they read God's word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he went to work on the conviction end of them, showing that they had a problem, but he pointed them to Jesus Christ. And when the blinders were peeled off, they got the full illumination. Amen. Holy Spirit resides in us to illuminate the truth of God to us, the truth that's in his word, as a follower. So when I sit down as a follower of Jesus Christ and I sit down and I'm going to start reading my Bible, the first thing I really need to do, the first thing that every one of us really needs to do is say, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me understand what I'm reading. Not just jump in and do a crash course on reading, but spend a couple of moments first quietly saying, Lord, show me. In other words, what I might do is if I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start reading, I might say, Lord, Holy Spirit, what is this passage that I'm getting ready to read? What's it about? I need you to show me. The Holy Spirit's God. So don't have problems saying, Holy Spirit. He likes his name used. Jesus likes his name used. The Father likes his name used. Amen? There's nothing wrong with sitting down. You're not going to sit there and start foaming at the mouth You know, dancing in the aisles, just because you call upon the Holy Spirit to illuminate, to show you what God's Word says. It's okay to call Him by name and say, Holy Spirit, I need help reading this passage this morning. Amen? So I'm going to sit down and I say, God, or Holy Spirit, show me. What does this really mean to me? And Lord, show me. How am I supposed to take this and then apply it in my life? Show me. I need your help. I can't do this. And the Holy Spirit will do something. He will begin to illuminate what you're reading. And He'll begin showing you. And your eyes will open up. Your spiritual heart will open up. And you will start to receive the Word of God into your heart. And as you speak, as He speaks to you, you know what happens? Most of the time when we go to the Bible to sit down and read, it's usually because we got a problem, don't we? And we're trying to find out, what does God want to say about my problem? Well, guess what happens? As I get into the Word of God and I ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word, God shows me through the Word what my problem is. And so now I know exactly what my problem is, and I know it clearly. But He doesn't stop just there. He goes on and says, here's the solution to your problem. Amen? You know, maybe I've got a serious, maybe, you know, we have a serious decision we have to make sometimes. That's the place where we need to go. We need to go to the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to help illuminate and help to give us the answer that we need to that important decision. Maybe we got a troubled child living at home. You know, maybe we've got we don't know how to deal with our finances. Maybe they're out of whack or whatever. Maybe you got a job offer and you're not sure, do I take this? Don't I take it? You know, what's the impact on my family? Maybe I've got aging parents that I've got to take care of. Whatever it happens to be, as I've got these things, I need to go to God's Word. I need to go to God and say, God, show me. I need to talk to you and I need you to talk to me and tell me what you want. And then I let the Holy Spirit do the illuminating. So really simple. It really is. That's one of the beautiful parts about God. He doesn't make us have to go get a PhD in something in order for us to understand. Amen? We just need to be about the work of letting the Holy Spirit illuminate God's Word into our lives as we read His Word. And maybe you've got some issue that you're dealing with today. I don't really know. Maybe you're struggling with something, health problem, addictions, I don't know, family problems, I don't know, the grief situations. All you got to do is turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus and ask Jesus to help you. I'm not afraid to use all three of their names. I can go to the Father and ask the Father to help me. I can go to God, God, and ask God to help me. I can go to Jesus and I can ask the Holy Spirit. You know who I'm asking to help me? God. And you know what He'll do? He will. So I don't have to have a fancy formula. I can keep it simple. Because I like the old army adage, keep it simple, stupid. Because this stupid guy needs it simple. And thank goodness, my Lord made it simple. Very simple. And He gave me the helper. He gave you the helper. He gave all of us who know Him the helper. Because He knew we did need help. So let Him. Let Him help you. Let Him help you grow. You'll dig more into this and look at some specifics as you go through the week in the study. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I want to thank You so very much for this time that we've had where we could dig into Your Word. And thank You, Father, for showing us the things that You wanted to show us this morning. Thank You for reminding us that You gave us the Helper. You gave us the Holy Spirit. To help each and every one of us understand, to hear You communicate, so that we really don't have those questions. So help us, Father, to be mindful. Help us to remember. Help us to take the time to sit down and remember and to call upon You to show us the glory, the wonder, the answers that we need to develop that communication where we hear You speak to us. Help us to do that. Help us to not forget that we need the illumination from Your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we come to this time of our invitation, if there are any decisions that need to be made, if anyone that wanted to become a member of the Dallas Baptist Church, or perhaps maybe they need to be baptized, or anything at all, or they want to find out how to get that relationship with you, I pray, Father, that this morning would be the day where they would come. And so we lift this up to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.